This is Stephen McHugh reporting for Unique Dyslexic. iRadio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Stephen McHugh here speaking for Unique Dyslexic I, bringing you episode 3 from series 3 of Unique Dyslexic I. On today's show, the main feature is an interview I did with Mirin, who is a dyslexic undergraduate studying business studies. Before I start that, I'm going to bring you some news. Okay, so since the last episode, I've managed to find two new mentors, one from Social Value Lab, and that's about identifying and using our social value, which we do have, to help with things like writing funding bids or to attract business for partnerships or whatever. It's about showing what we can do, which is something that I'm not good at. Blowing my own trumpet, no, never been good, but I think that's a typical dyslexic thing, really. I've also got a mentor from the Cranfield Trust, and that's more about developing a new business plan. It's all about trying to identify new business opportunities. For example, before COVID, I just finished writing and developing 3 new training programs: dyslexia, neurodiverse, disability. And of course, COVID came along, I didn't have the opportunity to do anything with them. And so this new mentor will enable me to start touting for business, you know, looking for business to use these training courses to hopefully bring in some more business and money as well. I mean, money is something we all need at the moment. We're all struggling with. Yeah, I would really like to develop our websites. They don't get developed for free. So, you know, if we could do something like another crowdfunding to see if we can raise maybe £750 to redevelop Unique Dyslexic Eye and Dyslexia Pathways websites. I'm looking at how to make them more inclusive. There are ways to do it, but it costs money, and that money I just haven't got at the moment. So now I'd like to introduce you to Mirin, who is going to talk to you a little bit about her experiences as a dyslexic learner and the ups and downs of being a dyslexic learner. As always, if you have any comments to make, please, you're welcome to make them. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate, ask away. You can contact me on Steve, STEVE, _ McHugh, MCCUE, @hotmail.com. Okay, so here we go with Mirin. Thank you very much.
This is Stephen McHugh reporting for Unique Dyslexic iRadio.
Hello, this is Steve McHugh here for Unique Dyslexic I. I'm bringing you an interview with Mirin, who is a university student at Heriot Watt University. Hello Mirin, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. It's nice and cold there, nice and snowy.
No, I think all the snow's melted now.
All right, okay.
Very frosty.
Okay. So can you tell me your course and what year you're on, please?
So I am doing International Business Management with Human Resource Management, and I'm in third year.
And how do you think things are going so far with it all?
It's well, it's good. It's a bit of a shock. The massive increase in coursework deadlines and with exams and everything, but it's good, and I think it's well, especially like this year being the first proper year, was quite hard because third year matters and, you know, everything's in person and yeah.
So you've been doing a lot of online stuff?
Yeah, well, the last 2 years was online, whereas now it's all in person.
Mirin, can you tell me a little bit about your experiences at primary school with your education there?
Yeah, so I always had, from when I can remember, I think I was in like year one or year two, I'd always been taken out for my exams and I never really understood why, but especially like with days when it was like full dyslexia testing or to test if you can get accommodations for exams and whatnot. But I was always taken really well care of. I used to go into this, my school had an Oasis Centre, and I used to just sit in there, and I always had teachers in with me, and if I had to do the test in class, I was always on a separate table with like maybe some other people that had extra time with the teacher and things. So.
Did you go to school in America, or were you to school in the UK?
No, this school was in Dubai.
Dubai, I was close then.
Yeah, Houston was after.
Okay, so between the ages of 5 and 11, say.
Yeah.
Did you get any support? Did anybody realise that you might be dyslexic? Were you having any issues with the reading and the writing then?
Yeah, I always had. Reading was never a good thing for me. I was okay. I'm okay at spelling. Spelling's my better suit, but reading is just hopeless. And I was always told, "Oh, you're lazy and whatnot." And then like, why don't you like reading? And I was compared to my brother and my sister, and then I found out I was diagnosed with dyslexia, and it all made sense.
Wait, how old were you when you were assessed then?
I have absolutely, 2007 rings a bell, but actually I found out I had an eye problem when I was in year six. And then in that year, I got tested, I think, again. I just got tested for everything, like my hearing and everything got tested. I can definitely tell you I was definitely tested when I was in year six.
Okay, year six is how old?
Well, it was 2013, so then I was 12.
Okay, when you were 12, okay. And after you'd been tested, how did you feel after you'd been tested and were told what the results of the tests were? Or were you just too young to take any notice or what? I mean...
Well, I was actually never told. I found out, so I knew I had dyslexia when I think I was in like year 11 or year 10, but I found out I had other learning difficulties when I was applying for university.
Right.
Because my mum didn't want me to use it as an excuse, so she kind of kept it a bit of a secret, which I guess is quite controversial, but people say like, oh, I can't do that because I have this, and I think it puts a restriction on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you say it yourself, so I'm quite thankful, but it is a bit like, you didn't tell me. And I was like, I know, like, this now makes sense that I have ADHD, like, you know, and all this stuff, and when I was applying for uni and things, so.
Parents do the best parents do the best they think can do for you, so that's all you can say.
I'm quite thankful for that.
Okay. So, when you were in secondary school, did you have exams to do, and did you get accommodations for exams, and how do you think your exams went?
I sat GCSEs, I did 9 GCSEs and IGCSEs, and then I did the IBCP program, which is just, I did business BTEC, and I did 2 IB subjects with those, but for my GCSEs, I had accommodations all throughout my life, and I moved to Houston in 2016, so just as I was going into year 10, which is a good time to move out in an educational point of view. My accommodations in Dubai, my Dubai school, were so good that I constantly had help. I had teachers sitting next to me in maths, English and science. And then I moved to Houston and they were like, no, we don't do any of that. It was one person. I was in Dubai, it was a full department. And I would just go and sit with them after school, and they were just amazing. And then I moved and I was like, this is really weird. I had 3 hours a week with a lady, and she was really good, but it was very much like spoon-fed.
Yeah.
I was taken out of, in my school, you picked 4 subjects to do, and I didn't take a language. I took learning support, and so that was when I would have my meetings with her. But then when I went into year 12, I got a new lady, and she was really good, but it was also like quite spoon fed throughout it. But it was good, and my mum was a big voice for me, and she still is, but like especially in school, and she would say to me, like she would say to like my teachers, like especially my learning support teacher, sorry, you need to stop, because you know she's going into uni soon, like you need to stop with the spoon feeding, try and like help her write it and like write her, because obviously I just was writing essays day in, day out, and then, but I did really well in IBCP. I got triple distinction star, which is the highest you can get, and I got in my, like they call it a reflective project, but it's like an extended essay, I think I got a B, and then in my two IB subjects, I got a 5 and a 4. So I was really happy with my results, and I was constantly taken care of throughout school and everything.
But your mum was trying to enable you to be more of an independent learner rather than having support learning.
Yeah, and it did give me a lot of confidence to help, but it was. Especially like in my 2 IB subjects, you know, I took a sports science, so she didn't help me as much for that, like my learning support person, but mainly like film and my business subjects.
Yeah.
My business essay, sorry.
Okay. So all in all, your school was happy,
mm-hmm.
and challenging.
Yeah.
and basically you enjoyed school.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. Oh, like, it was hard, as I said, because I moved country when I was 16, when I was 14, 15. You know, that was really hard.
Yeah.
I grew up in Dubai. I lived there for 12 years. Like, it was, as far as I was concerned, it was home, and obviously Scotland as well. But, and then, you know, it was like it got ripped away from home, and it was just me and my mum and dad, because my sister and brother were at uni.
Yeah.
So it was hard to move.
So. Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a testament to your. Would you say you're a determined person? Did it help you to be a determined person, or did you just do it because you had to do it?
Well, I didn't really have much to matter say in the matter. It was hard because I hadn't been the new kid for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because of my age, but I got really anxious, and I think that's where it all stemmed from. Yeah. But I am really glad I moved.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So then you moved to the UK in what year? What year roughly?
2020.
And you started to on your university kind of path. Why did you choose business studies and the course you're on? Why did you choose that?
Well, I chose to do business because I just spent 2 years or 18 months doing business, basically, yeah, every single day. And I did enjoy it, and I thought I was good at it. And, you know, it was at uni, it was either that or sports science, and I don't think I was good enough. Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but I just think sports science didn't really interest me as much as business did.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was the natural route to do business.
Yeah.
And then the HR bit, I always said I just wanted to do business. And when I was applying to uni, my dad was like, you should do it with something. You know, business is such a big topic. And I was like, well, I don't like marketing. And I was doing HR at the time. I was doing a HR module at the time. And I just thought, HR, I quite like it. You can travel with business a lot. And I think that's really important.
All right. So can you tell me about what some of the differences you found between school and university? How did you handle the transition between school and university?
Well, in school, the teachers, I think they really care about you and they really do know you. Whereas with me, in uni, I've got like 200, 300 people. So your lecturers don't really know you as well as they do in school, especially like I had little classes my entire life, no more than like 10 people. So the teacher, everyone knew everyone, teacher knew everything about you. They could sense when you were struggling.
Yeah.
And it was easy to go up to them because it was like they were friends. Whereas in uni, it's very different.
Yeah, you're a bit of you're a smaller fish in a bigger sea.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Can you tell me, were you aware of Disabled Students Allowance and that you could apply for it? Or because you were an overseas student, you couldn't apply for it? What happened about learning support? Did you apply for it at the beginning?
Yeah, it was a really big thing for me, actually, looking at uni, and I needed to make sure that those accommodations were going to be put in place and I wasn't going to need to be tested for anything again. I really did look out for it, and it was like, if I asked any question, it was that. You know, I was put in touch with people, and I had a call before coming to uni, and they were asking me all my accommodations and all my exam accommodations and everything. But because I applied for the disability allowance, but because I don't get SAS, I didn't qualify for it.
Right. Okay. Can you tell me what kind of accommodations did you get? And how because you didn't get Disabled Students Allowance, how did you get the, what happened about using a computer, getting any software, dyslexia software, what happened about that? Was it just down to your parents paying for it, or did the uni help with the paying for it?
So I don't have any of the software or anything.
Right.
But my teacher, one of my business teachers, and my film teachers and my learning support teacher in school all wrote, should have my accommodations and why, like what type of student I am and as a person, and like why the accommodations are important and stuff. So I think that also really helped. But I had so much testing, and the last time I was tested, I think it was right before I went into IB. think it must have been in like the August of 2018.
Okay, so no DSA. You're not using assistive technology. Have you not used it at all?
No, I don't. I don't even know what it's called.
Okay.
I don't have any of it. I wasn't allowed to get any of it.
Okay. Fine. And so, what support did you get from the university?
I get extra time, a computer, and a reader, and then a separate room. But I also get an hour a week with you.
You still get one-to-one learning support, and you still get extra time for exams. I presume you get things like something for your spelling and the like.
Yeah, so the spell check's on, and I'm also entitled to... It says on the student services that I'm entitled to extra time with coursework and detailed feedback, like one-on-one type feedback. I'm allowed to do presentations one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah.
Okay, so you got some accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
Did they work for you?
Well, there was some technical issues with my exam on last Monday. But, as everything being in person,
yeah,
for the first time, sorry, in person, and I figured, and you could hide behind, like, presentations, you could hide behind a screen, which was always quite nice. But and they've always been group presentations, but, you know, going into third year, I thought, I really do need to start being able to present in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
And so I did have two presentations actually this semester. And I basically had not really no choice, but one of them was pretty much no choice. I mean, I never really questioned it.
Yeah.
Because I did think it would be good to challenge myself. And so I just stuck with doing it. But I think detailed coursework feedback, definitely I need to start making more use of the fact that I have these accommodations and you know, they're written down on paper, you know.
Do you think the COVID thing and working remotely worked for you in the main or worked against you?
I think it has its positives and negatives. Definitely I need routine, and I think having being in person definitely helps that, keeps the routine and everything. But online, you know, and it keeps me, in uni, it keeps me focused in lectures and, because I do get the lectures recordings after, but I actually didn't mind online learning. I quite liked it, but it definitely helped me stay focused being in uni.
Okay, so I just want to clear something up. When you came to university, did you apply for a learning support or study support straight away?
Yes.
Okay, and do you think that was the right decision to do? And would you recommend that anybody go to study support and apply for support?
Yes,
straight away.
Definitely. You know, it levels out the playing field.
Mm-hmm. What other things you do in the uni? Things that you like to do, you know, to a bit of enjoyment.
Well, I play rugby, so I've got training twice a week, and a game on a Saturday. A game on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I've played twice for now, like an outside club that I've, like, if they've just needed numbers, I've gone in to help, and you know, I've made friends for life being playing sport at uni. And
so it becomes the central focus for your academic and for your everyday life.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely recommend it to anybody. Definitely the best thing I've done.
Now, before at school, your mum basically self-advocated for you.
Yeah.
Do you now self-advocate for yourself? Do you know what self-advocate is?
I do. Especially towards the end of school, my mum and my learning support teacher were really trying to push me to start speaking more in class, because every single time on my report it was, Marin's very quiet, she doesn't speak in school, she needs to start using her voice. And it was such a different nature to like what I would be like with my friends at lunch or at home. I was always told to shut up.
So you're now a bit more of a, you're better, you feel safe enough to self-advocate for yourself.
I do it via email. I am definitely getting better, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's good news. If you had one piece of advice to give anyone who's going to listen to this, I mean, what would that one piece of advice be?
Don't be shy to admit you need help, or like if you're dyslexic or something, I think you should embrace it. I've always been very lucky in the fact that I've never, you know, as common people with difficulties, they get bullied or teased or whatever. I've always been very lucky, but I do know people that have been. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And I just think you shouldn't try not shy away from it, because, you know, at uni you'll meet people and you'll think, yeah, these are good, like these seem like my friends or whatever. And then the next day you find a new group of people and you're like, oh, actually, no, I definitely prefer these people.
Yeah.
And uni's constantly changing and it changes you as well. But I think embrace it.
I'm going to say thank you very much for coming along and let me interview you. Good luck with the results of your exams. I'm sure they will be fab. Thanks very much for giving your time.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
This is Stephen McHugh reporting for Unique Dyslexic iRadio.
Thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Miren. It was great interviewing you. Fascinating to hear how you moved from school to school across several different countries and managed to cope with that as well as being dyslexic. Brilliant. Now, just a word for everybody out there about something called Disabled Students Allowance. If you're dyslexic or neurodiverse or disabled and want to go to university or college, you may be entitled to something called Disabled Students Allowance. Now, I would advise anybody who's going to take up a course on in a university or in a college to go along to Student Support Services and find out about Disabled Students Allowance. With it, you can buy hardware such as a computer, such as a voice recorder, or you can buy software, text-to-speech, speech-to-text, all of which will be able to help you on your courses, make things easier, help you overcome the disability, dyslexia, neurodiverse, unfriendly education system. Go for it. Always advise it. Whatever support you can get, go for it. My advice. It certainly worked for me way back in 1993. Okay, so if you could do me a favour, it'd be fantastic if you could subscribe to the channel. It would be fantastic if you could leave a review. It helps with if I'm going to be looking for funding soon, which I will be, and also attracts new listeners. The more listeners, the bigger the reach, the better it is for all of us. Okay, so that's peace, love and grooviness from me. Take care of yourselves. Steve McHugh signing out for Unique Dyslexic Eye.
This is Stephen McHugh reporting for Unique Dyslexic iRadio.